Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live fan? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's lots to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
Listen.
nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Community Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ella here, and I am with...
Oliver Dixon.
Bradley Middleton.
Lewis Wright.
How are you all? How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
So, yes. Well, it's a lovely day today, and this is the first time we're, all four of us
all
have been here.
All four, it is.
Yeah, it's great.
So, how are you all feeling?
Not bad.
Excited that it's the four of us for the first time. Been waiting this for a couple of weeks now, haven't we? Yeah. Me being away and everything.
Yeah.
But it's finally happening, which is good to see.
And on a lovely day as well. It's like the sun's come out to
listen. What more can you ask for?
Exactly.
You couldn't ask for anything more, could you? So how have you been for you? What have you been doing for the past few weeks, if you can tell us?
I was in Berlin, seeing a friend over there a couple of weeks ago now. That was brilliant.
Very nice.
And I also saw the band 10cc 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Now. They were fantastic as well. I'd definitely see them again. They've still got it.
So, and I want to talk to you later on, because we've got a certain game that's coming out later on. But, I mean, you're laughing right now,
but
we'll talk about it later on. So, Ian Robb, thank you for joining me today. We just spoke to you a little bit earlier, and so tell us a little bit about yourself.
How much do you want to know?
Tell us what you want to know, so.
Yeah, but basically I've lived in Sheffield. God, I'm 45 today, actually.
Happy birthday. I had to get it in there, didn't I? Shaking my hand, I like it. But yeah, so I've lived here about 40 years, I'd say now. So I've had various jobs in Sheffield. I was public service, private sector, all kinds really. But now I'm based at the Uni of in Sheff, and basically helping support students there with all kinds of needs and all kinds of security aspects as well. Shout out to my team, they're probably listening to this, so I'll give them a quick shout out if they're listening out and about. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell really, and little part-time side subjects, like side projects to keep me occupied in my spare time. So
great. And I want to also talk to you because you've got a fantastic event that's coming up at Wisdom Park. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, well, it comes from, I run a little side plug here, but I do the year with my friend's Winners Sheffield podcast. It was a project set up by my friend James Travis, if people know him, and he was after a business idea of interlinking businesses to promote, you know, how successful companies are in Sheffield, and link them in and build, you know, relationships. Like kind of a LinkedIn, like on a YouTube side of it. And so we got to speaking to some Sheffield business leaders, some Sheffield celebrities, Sheffield boxing royalty. It's all on YouTube there if you want to see it. We've interviewed some great people. Man with the Pram, John Burkill, who's an absolute legend. My favourite probably interview we've done. Toby Foster, Radio Sheffield. We've interviewed a lot of business leaders in Sheffield as well. Clinton Woods, Johnny Nelson, Glyn Rhodes. We've done a lot really, but so it's been a great side project for that, to get the plug in for the little podcast side of it. But yeah, so what it is I jumped to from the start of it, or why I've got involved in it, or the project, or kind of thing, or so the project was it's basically, well, God, we're talking now 4 to 5 months ago, I had a close member of my family who unfortunately was diagnosed with cancer.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, no, sorry. It's not just us, unfortunately. It's, so we went through the treatment. He's still ongoing with treatment now, but hopefully positive, touch wood, signs are, you know, we keep fighting for it. So he was going through Weston Park Hospital. And, you know, as I've just said to you earlier, our guys offline, when you go to, you know, I've been in Sheffield 40 odd years now, and you drive past constantly Weston Park Hospital.
Yeah.
And when you're driving past it, you kind of think, you know, God, I wouldn't wish upon anyone going in there.
Yes.
And then when it actually happens to you, your whole output and visions and views change on things, and, you know, on life in general and what you want to do. So having a bit of experience being in there, you want to give something back to them because you see what goes on in there, the loneliness of people that are in there when people aren't visiting them, people haven't got any visitors. It's just the whole experience. So you want to give something back to them. So I've decided to give something back to them. I went to Weston Park and said, I've done the running, I've done the 10Ks. What else have you got? And they said, well, we're doing Kilimanjaro. And I said, you've got absolutely no chance of me doing Kilimanjaro. Because I said, the only Manjaro I'm going to do is probably the jabs to lose weight. I said, so there's no way I'm going anywhere near that. So, and they said, okay, we'll keep you in touch. And then literally a guy who I play football with, I've joined like a Sheffield Mental Health football organisation because it's just to help people who are going through this kind of thing as well, and also other aspects that are going on in their life. And yeah, he said, I'm doing this charity called Weston Park Cancer Charity called Funny Business. You might be best seeing there's any spaces going on that. And so I got back in touch with the Weston Park Cancer Charity Hospital, and they said, yeah, we've got, you know, if you can raise money and get people to sign, you know, sponsor you and sell tickets, you're in. So I hummed and hawed about it because basically it's what it's called, Funny Business. And you'll be trained October, November by a comedian. Yeah. And culminating in doing a 10-minute stand-up slot on the Sheffield City Hall as part of the evening.
I was just going to ask you, where was it based? But you said the Sheffield City Hall. So, I mean, will there be like celebrities and other comedians that will be joining
Do you know what? I've been told. Also, I've got so far is that there's a comedian. There's a meet and greet happening in April, beginning of April, where I'll meet. I know a couple of them who've got in touch with me through LinkedIn and things like that, to come and talk to me about it. So yeah, I'm happy with that. But yeah, it's a comedian. I do know it is, but I don't think I can say it yet. officially, like, I don't want to blow the plot because it's all scab planned for this greet and meet kind of thing. But yeah, so we'll have this meet and greet, get to meet other contestants, and then come, I think tickets go live in April as well through Western Park Cancer Charity. And then, yeah, so October, November, we'll be training to be a stand-up comedian, which is... I don't know how it's going to go, I'll be honest with you. It's just pushing my boundaries, something I've never done, but something, you know, you always fancy doing when, you know, everyone wants to be a comedian. So, yeah, it's going to be daunting. People keep saying to me it's going to be scary, but I just keep saying to myself, you know, there's people in there at the minute who are scared every day of, you know, what's going to happen to them and stuff. So... I'm small fry compared to that, and it's just for the cause, really. That's the most important.
And you know, it's for a great cause as well. I mean, Western Park Cancer Charity, I mean, it couldn't go to a better charity, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, hats off to you, mate. Hats off for you to doing this. And I want to say thank you for joining me to do this interview.
Yeah, it's not a problem at all.
And I mean, so how can people get to see Mr. Shulman?
So. They go on tickets. So tickets go on sale in April through the Western Park Cancer Charity website. I think they're going to be. I've been told they're going to be around about £20. So I think we've got individually. I think there's 6 or 7 of us that have signed up for it so far. So you're looking around about 2,000 odd people that could have been in the city, which is frightening in itself for me to perform in front of. But yeah, it's going to be through the Western Park website and the Cancer Charity website and also the Funny Business 26 website that they'll be able to get the tickets through that. There's a press, as I said, April the 15th, I think it is. There's a press night which is going to be organised as to how the details, who it is, the comedian is, what it's going to entail and all that kind of stuff, which will be published on, I think, there's all the local TVs and radios are getting involved in that. So yeah, so it should be good.
Interesting. And I mean, we would love to go and see this charity, so I hope
see
we
me
can,
struggle
well, not to see you struggle, we'll be there to cheer you on.
We won't have that, I promise.
We'll be there to cheer you on, mate. You know, we'll give you support, so don't you worry about
it. Yeah, no, that's it, exactly. As much support I can get. My sponsorship page has just been open for a day. And I've, you know, they've given us a target each of £2,000, which is when you get told that you're like, and you start on zero, you're like, wow. But, you know, within a day, I've raised £800 now.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so it's a massive thank you to people, you know, who are probably listening to or told about it, you know, giving me sponsorship as well. So it's just a case of keeping on going. There's a few other people I've spoken to who are talking about organising like fundraising football matches. I think there's a game planned up at Hallam FC, a Legends game to help promote the cause as well. So yeah, it's just getting involved and spreading the word and coming on to things like this, really. And I thank you for, you know, giving me the platform to, not just for me, but the whole cause as well and the actual programme.
I mean, I want to say thank you for joining us as well, Ian, because yeah, no. I mean, we'd love to promote things like this, and if it's also for a great cause like the Western Park Cancer Charity, you know, if we can do that for somebody, then we're doing our job right, and that's what I like doing. And I want to say thank you for joining me.
It's not a problem at all. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's just a case of raising the awareness of the project because they're doing some fantastic work. They've got, obviously, I said Kilimanjaro coming up, and they've also got they've got so many events lined up and different. I mean, they've got the Sheffield Half Marathon next weekend as well, which they've got loads running for.
And I mean, if for anybody that wants to volunteer as well, I mean, can you still volunteer for this for the Funny Brothers 2026?
If you get in touch with Rachel Thomas, is the girl who's running it, or she's one of the head of, I think she's the head of sponsorship at Western Park. So I don't know if there's any spaces still available. That's for them to take it. But I'm sure that the more the merrier for them. Last time I heard, there was only 6 or 7 of us. So I can imagine they get 10 doing it. They're laughing for more sponsorship fees. But obviously, the more the merrier. And if people got material as well, then please help me. send it my way and I'll try and not copyright it as well.
Well, we'll probably send you to Kilimanjaro.
Please don't.
Ian, thank you for joining me today.
It's
a great cause. Tell us a bit more about the cause.
It's obviously they've got different equipment that they've got to try and, you know, it's, I find it scandalous in today's world that places like that still have to do fundraisers. But yeah, they've got to raise for different types of scanners, different types of, you know, improving the building constantly. You know, if you go drive past Western Park in Sheffield now, it's an old building. So there's got to be a lot of improvements. There's, you know, if you go into it now, I'll be honest with you, from the outside, it's like the tardy. If you look at it from the outside, you think, well, I wouldn't like to go in there. But inside, it's quite modernised a bit more now. But yeah, so it's just equipment and improving people's everyday lives in there, really, and going towards, you know, services. There's got to be, I think they're working on a service as well for people who haven't got visitors every day, you know, people on their own in there, because it is a lonely place. You know, I've been there quite a few times now, and it's a lonely place, you know, when you haven't got visitors there. So the services that need to be provided for that, and it's just, you know, it's still just making it one of the most sponsored charities in the Yorkshire region. I think it's up there. I think it's quite high.
And I mean, I want to ask as well, I mean, because we are here promoting it, and I want to say thank you for letting us promote it. What can we do more to try and get this out there more?
To the actual charity?
Yeah,
it's just promoting the word. I mean, social media is a big player in it now. You know, there's all kinds of hashtags which they've got. They've got the Western Park Cancer Charity hashtag, the Western Park hashtag. There's like the Purple Appeal as well, you know, the Purple Heart Appeal that they've got going. So there's all kinds of stuff, but it's just keeping, it's just talking to people like me involved in the campaigns, really, and, you know, drawing on their experiences and what they're having to do, because they're different. What they're doing is, as well, when we've signed up for it, they're sending out separate fundraiser packages. So if you want to, I don't know, I'm going to go a bit Blue Peter here, but you want to have a bake sale or a cake sale or, you know, local market store or something like that, there's all kinds of flags and banners and posters for that. And that's another thing nowadays. I mean, it's not so much. You don't see flags and banners and posters at, the days of Scouts and that are going there. So it's like, it's just word of mouth. Word of mouth is probably the biggest one, and the social media push as well. They've been saying to me, you know, if you can push it on social media, push it on all kinds of things, that's the big push, because, you know, that's the rage now. I'm not street enough to be too down with social media, and they're asking me to do promotional videos and all that kind of stuff, and I need to get people involved who are going to help me with that.
Well, you know what, I think as a team, and I hope you all agree with me on this, we want to give you a platform to help you.
We definitely do.
We definitely want to do that. So this is not the end, this is the beginning.
I'm having it.
So we're definitely going to help out and getting this happening.
Well, I've got to sell 40 tickets each, so I'll throw my thing, so plus more, so I'll be on to you guys as well.
It's a great charity, and we would love to help do our bit. So
yeah,
if we could do that for you, I would definitely do that for you.
Yeah, definitely appreciate that. It'd be massive help.
So, Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. Have you got any questions that you would like to ask anybody?
I think you've covered about everything. It's been interesting to hear about all sorts and what the cause is for, and, you know, it's highly important with a charity like this. All charities, but this one in particular.
You've just got to draw the line, because I'm doing it for what's happened to us as a family, and all that. But there's a massive bigger picture, because you sometimes, when we all went through it originally, we were absolute. God, I hope no one has to go through it themselves here, but it's a massive kick in the teeth.
It is.
And that's probably not being as covering the most, but you've also, I took a step back during the time as well, thinking, this ain't just us. Do you know what I mean? There's loads, thousands, millions going through it, and that's the bigger picture that you look at, and this is why you're doing it for these kind of charities, because you know it's not just you, there's others involved as well, and if you can help play your part in it, you know, I'll sleep well at night for it.
Yeah, and I've got to say hats off to you, mate, for doing this, and thank you so much for coming.
Might be different October, November time, we'll see.
And I want to wish you all the best of luck in April as well.
Thank you very much, Father. Appreciate it.
So we're going to play our next song now. We're going to play America, A Horse With No Name.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
That was the Alan Parsons Project, Eye in the Sky. I mean, that was a great tune, by the way, wasn't it?
That was a good tune.
So, now, Bradley, I mean, you mentioned to us about a certain game that is coming out for the PlayStation 5 on the Commuters Live Facebook page. Commuters Live... I forgot what you call it now. WhatsApp, that's it, WhatsApp. Yeah. I just had a blank moment there. Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, it's pretty much a train simulator game, but with Thomas the Tank Engine on it.
Extra kid friendly.
Yeah, it's like it's on Sodo and everything. It's got Tidmouth Sheds and all that stuff. All the characters are on it. Thomas, Percy, Gordon, everyone.
Sounds marvellous. And I mean, are you going to get the Thomas the Tank Engine game?
The 5-year-old in me would say yes.
I'll have to see if I could get press access for you then.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll love it as well.
I grew up with the show, so it'd be nice. Really of our childhoods.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about, 30, 40 years ago it started. I mean,
it's been for longer than that, hasn't it? With the books and stuff.
Oh, well, yeah.
The books, yes, but then the TV, I think it was 1984, I'd want to say, but don't quote me on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it very often on the TV now. I mean, but it's still very popular.
Did a new series that was like a reboot, like the new with new graphics and everything.
Yeah,
it didn't look the same as what it used to. That's not how I remember it.
But I think I've heard rumours. I mean, I don't know if it's true. I mean, didn't Piers Brosnan did the narration for it as well for the reboot?
They did. So,
but I'm sure. Pierce Brosnan did it. I mean, I know Ringo Starr definitely did it.
He did the original.
But I'm sure there was something around Pierce Brosnan doing it. I mean, I don't know who's doing it now, if it's still doing it. Mm. But, yeah, I'm sure I've heard Pierce Brosnan do it, which is interesting. So, but I'm wondering who's going to do the narration for Video Game, if they do the narration for it.
From the videos that I was watching this morning, it sounded like the guy who did the voice for the regular Train Simulator games. But I've not really played much of the Train Simulator.
Is it made by the same company, the Thomas game, or is it a whole different company?
It looks just like the Train Simulator game, but just with Thomas on it. So I'm guessing it's the same people who did the Train Simulator game.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard it is for people who made the Train Simulator game. Yeah. Going off of Thomas the Tank Engine, I mean, there was a new horror game that's just come out. Well, I say new, I mean, it's a remake. Fatal Frame 2. Have you ever played Fatal Frame 2?
I don't think I've even heard of it.
You never even heard of it?
No.
So,
never played it, but I've watched loads about it. It seems
I've
very,
seen
very
stuff
cool.
On it, yeah.
It's a remake of a classic game from a PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah.
With new graphics, and I've got to say, it is scary. Really, I mean, honestly, if it gives you nightmares, I mean, it's like there's no zombies or monsters or like that. You're fighting it's basically you're fighting the spirits and vengeful spirits and stuff like that, and they can attack you.
Yeah,
and Fatal Frame has been going on for about. Nearly over 20 years.
It's Fatal Frame, I might be wrong, but it's the one where you fight them off with a camera.
Yes.
Correct. Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yes. So there was no weapons, or there's no guns or anything like that. Your weapon is a camera.
Yeah.
And there's multiple endings to it as well. Ooh. So, I mean, I haven't completed it as of yet, but I'm actually frightened to complete it.
That's how you know it's good, though. Yeah.
So. But, I mean, another game that I want to talk to you about was Resident Evil Requiem. That's come out a couple of weeks ago. Has any of you played Requiem?
Not yet, but I've seen stuff on it.
I've heard it's good.
It is good. But if you're an actual Resident Evil... I mean, I've played it and I've completed it. But I'm not going to spoil too much into it because I don't want to give you too much spoilers. But if you are an actual Resident Evil fan... there are going to be some references there that you will know from the previous games that are in this game. And some secret characters that I don't want to say too much because obviously it will spoil the game. So I'm going to end it there, really.
Some people have complained about it, apparently, for being too scary, from what I've read online.
You know, you can never have it too scary. I mean, I think the scarier the better, really.
I mean, it is a horror game.
It is a horror game.
You've paid for a horror game, so expect scary things.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you don't make it too scary, it's going to be too bland. And if it's too bland...
no one will play it.
People want to make it more... You know, it's like, you can't really win, can you? I mean, it's like... It's you can't please everybody, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately not.
And, I mean, it's like with the Silent Hill 2 remake... And I'll be honest with you, I had my doubts about it with who was making it. It was Bloober Team who made the remake. Mm. And when I looked at it at first, I thought, really? I thought, Bloober Team, I couldn't put it together at the moment. I just couldn't put two and two together. But when I played the remake, and I mean, it's a fantastic remake. It's not exactly faithful one-to-one, but it's a great game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm so looking forward to the first Silent Hill. And I think it's so overdue, the first Silent Hill remake. It's been going on, gosh, nearly over 30 years now, isn't it? 30 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So, I mean... And to say what games were back then, I mean, I've always remember Pac-Man. That was the first. That was the first game I remember when it was just like a dot on the screen, and then you know. But now, I mean, games now are just more lifelike.
Yeah, I mean, Silent Hill seems like one of those franchises that was calling out for a remake because. You don't really remember the gameplay or anything from it. You remember the world, you remember the story.
Yeah.
So giving them a chance to bring that into a new generation, more realised, whilst building on maybe slightly outdated tank controls, it just that makes sense for a remake, I suppose.
And the thing is, as well, it's Silent Hill is an anthology because it's different story. It's not one story broken up into multiple chapters. It's different stories. So it's like, and Silent Hill 2, I mean, greatest game of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
And that's my opinion for placed. And Silent Hill is also one of the best Wii games as well, the original. The one I was really looking forward to, and unfortunately cancelled, and it still hurts to this day, is PT.
I knew you were going to say that.
Hideo Kojima. I mean, that was the one that would have brought it back, I think. And it was a shame because it would have been an inch, especially with Guillermo del Toro being on board and Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead. That would have been a great game, I think.
I mean, Death Stranding has gone on to be, you know, an amazing hit, and it's great to see what it's doing, but it is kind of like, imagine, just the missed potential.
Do you know, it's... I mean, I've always said this, and people are going to laugh at me when I say this, but gameplay-wise, I mean, the game is... The graphics great. The story is top-notch. But the gameplay itself... It's just like a scientific version of Postman Panto or an Amazon delivery driver. Yeah. That's what it is. It's like you're telling us that you've got all these celebrities and all these talents, and all we're doing is delivering parcels. I thought, what a wasted opportunity. I think people actually don't play the game. It's actually more for the story when it comes to a Hideo Kojima game.
Well, see, that's what I thought as well, but I've been surprised how many of my friends have actually really loved it. Like, they'll start playing it because they got it for free or something, saying, it's a bit boring, the cutscenes are long, then I don't see them for weeks, and they come out saying, best thing I've done in a long time.
I mean, there's another one that's in the works as well, and it's called OD, Hideo Kojima's OD.
Right, and I think
it's, is it Overdose or something like that we call it?
I believe so, yeah.
And I don't know if it's an Xbox exclusive or whether it's coming to PlayStation. I'm not too sure yet. But one of the actors, and unfortunately he's not here with us today, which is a shame, Udo Kier, I think his name, or Udo Kier, sorry if I pronounce his name wrong. He was going to be in this game, and unfortunately he passed away before he started filming. Which is a shame, really. But from what I've seen so far, it looks really good. And also the fact that we've got like other horror directors like Jordan Peele, who is going to be part of this game as well. That's going to be an interesting take, I think.
One of the great things about horror is that it feels like there's less competition than maybe some other genres. People in the horror sphere want to see horror succeed.
Yeah.
You know, they're always going out, watching the films, playing the game. So, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a really, really great thing in the end. Probably too scary for me.
I mean, other than Jordan Peele, I mean, have you got any... Are you a horror fan? I mean, who's your favourite director?
So, I don't even know if he's... He strictly classed as horror, but when he does it, it goes really well. John Carpenter.
Oh, yes.
Did The Thing, The Fog, Escape from New York and stuff.
Halloween.
Yeah, of course, Halloween. And yeah, he's just the man, I think. And you can see the influence of Halloween in particular on so many stuff coming out now. I just think he's fantastic. But then again, he's not strictly a horror director, so...
No.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, he's made quite a few great films as well. I mean, I'm not sure if you actually know this, but he's actually done a film with Kurt Russell as Elvis Presley. He actually did a story...
I think I've heard about this one.
It was a great watch, by the way. Really is a really good watch. I mean, Kurt Russell actually pulled it off as Elvis Presley.
I'm going to have to watch this now.
I think it's about a 3-hour film as well. It was a great film. And he's also John Carpenter. He's also released another video game.
I've seen this.
Toxic Commandos, I think it's called, I think it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's big on his game in John Carpenter, if you look into it. But it's great that, you know, a director of such prestige is kind of getting into new media and exploring it in such a way.
And he also did the cutscenes. I think he wrote, I don't know if he actually directed the cutscenes or actually wrote them. But have you heard of a game called Fear?
Yes, I had no idea he was involved with Fear. That's amazing.
He wasn't involved with the first few games, but he was involved in Fear 3.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, I don't know how much of an involvement he actually had, whether he actually wrote the script or just directed the cutscenes or that, but he was definitely a part of Fear 3.
Fantastic.
And you know what? That's definitely one of the series that needs to come back as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Bring it back.
And, I mean, we're going to go to movies now. So, is there any films that you're currently looking forward to seeing that's coming out soon?
Well, we were talking about this before we got in the studio. The new Spider-Man trailer dropped the other day.
What do you think to it?
It looks quite good. I think it looks quite good.
Do you think there's... I mean, I've heard rumours that there's going to be quite a few villains in it, but if they pull it off with like the way they did with No Way Home, because you don't want too many villains. I think too many villains possibly spoil the broth, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
And the way they did that with No Way Home, I mean, there were basically five villains in the film. I mean, it was a shame they didn't put a sixth one, because that would have been a great Sinister Six. But it would have been interesting who we would have brought for that one. I think we could have brought Vulture, actually. We could have brought Vulture in for that one and mixed the new with the old ones.
Mm.
So that would have probably been a different...
Well, No Way Home had the advantage of them already having a bit of kind of character development done in the past, so you don't have to reintroduce them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which definitely helps, but... Yeah, I can't remember who the villains are for the new one. I've got no idea, but...
Not Chameleon, there's Scorpion.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Hand, which is a Daredevil villain.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of rumours that there's Tombstone as well.
Okay,
fine.
Ones we're not too familiar with in the films.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to get them some screen time.
Yeah. And, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting where they're going to go for it, because... To me, controversial me saying this, but it felt to me that Marvel actually ended with Avengers Endgame with me. Mm. I felt like the story actually ended with Iron Man.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it. I'll not say no more.
Yeah.
But it felt like when Avengers Endgame ended, it brought it to a satisfying conclusion to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there's so many more stories after Endgame, I mean, and all that, but it's like, I mean, I was so looking forward to Kang the Conqueror as well. I mean, he could have been a great villain. And it was a shame what happened.
Yeah.
I think he got sidelined.
Yeah.
We brought back... we've no background whatsoever. I mean, there's no... we brought back Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to be played by Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, it's interesting. More than anything else, just interesting.
I remember that reveal.
So, do you think he's going to be an Iron Man variant, you think? Or do you think...
Well, they'd be crazy to not acknowledge it in some way.
Yeah.
They've got to do something to acknowledge it, but...
Be rude not to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually coming out this year as well, isn't it? December. So that's part. I think it's a two-part film as well.
Mm.
So you're going to get. So you know it's going to be a cliffhanger this year.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, partly Infinity War. I remember seeing it. We went to see it on a midnight showing, and it was the longest wait to see the second part.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I mean. But it was a great film. It was such a fantastic film. Mm. And, you know, it makes you wonder where we're going to go from here, I think.
Yeah,
hopefully the comeback good. Because, as you said, Endgame set that was peak. Then they had a couple of good films after that, but then didn't get to the height they were before that.
Yeah. I mean, another question. Do you feel that we're getting a bit stale now at Marvel super films?
For me, they are.
Can I ask why?
I'm just not a massive superhero film fan myself. Mm. Like, I do enjoy a few of them, but I just other people seem like the more fans than I am, sort of thing. So for me, it's.
And I mean, I'm speaking of Marvel, I mean, I'm going to go towards DC now.
Okay.
I was really disappointed with the DC Universe, what they did. I mean, Henry Cavill, fantastic Superman. He was a brilliant Superman. And I think, unfortunately, they did dirty on him because he deserved more than what he got. He deserved another sequel or two.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck as Batman surprised me. He really surprised me because I didn't think he was going to make a great Bruce Wayne or Batman. And he was really good. I mean, from what I've seen at Batman vs. Superman, and I've got to say, that's 5 movies in one. Because it was such a mess. Batman vs. Superman. I think we were trying to rush making a Justice League.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And unfortunately, it didn't work. Unfortunately. And but, I mean, Justice League, again, it wasn't as good as The Avengers, I don't think. Unfortunately. That's my opinion.
It's kind of dead on arrival, really, because everyone was just excited about Infinity War coming out soon after.
But what do you reckon to the James Gunn reboot? I mean, so far we had Superman. I can't remember his name, unfortunately. It was a new actor. I can't remember his name. But it was like Lex Luthor was the main villain in this. And, I mean, it was a good start. I mean, there were a couple of issues I had with the film regarding the storyline and with his parents, but I'm not going to say too much into it for people who haven't seen it. But we're already making a sequel to the Superman scene. And we're also thinking about bringing Batman back for I think we're making, is it called Brave and the Bold, something like that?
Yeah, that's a comic line as well, I think, isn't it?
But is it going to clash with the Batman what we got right now with Robert Pattinson?
I hope not.
Because there's a part 2 coming out.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see a part 3 before we actually see a new Batman, I think. Because I think we need to see when I saw Matt Reeves' first Batman, the trailer, it looked like it was more crime than more superhero, weren't it? And but that's what Batman is.
Yeah.
It's not just a superhero film. It's actually a crime drama as well, because you got there's references of Seven and all greatest crime films.
I mean, interestingly enough, everyone seems to really love the kind of gritty, down to earth Batman stuff. I'm excited for them to go maybe somewhere a bit weirder with it, with the James Gunn ones. Like, I like just having, you know, some gods and giant aliens. They're just fighting some rich guy in a suit. I think it's a great contrast.
Yeah.
So, love the Matt Reeves one, and I hope they keep it up with it. But, you know, it might be interesting to have the two going along side by side.
Do you know what I would love to see? I would love to see a horror-focused Batman. And I think it'll be a great mix because, I mean, who else would come out at night? And I mean, you already got your horror villains. Like, you got the Joker, who is smiling, grinning permanently, and has got white and green hair with red ruby lips. You got Mr. Freeze. You got Clayface.
Yeah,
you got all the Two-Face. Even. Yeah, you got all the greatest horror icons there. Yeah. And it could be a great horror.
They've got all the tools. They just need to work with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just needs that. They just need to put more horror elements into it and make it more scarier.
Yeah.
And then I think you've got the perfect Batman film.
Well, they managed to make the Riddler scary in the last one.
They actually did a good job.
Which, you know, it's very far from Jim Carrey in a green leotard before, so, you know.
I mean, I'll tell you something. It was actually based on a real life serial killer as well. They actually based it off the Zodiac Killer. So that was who they based the Riddler off on the film. I mean, the Penguin. I mean, I was surprised that was Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
It did not look anything like Colin Farrell.
The makeup was fantastic.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting because I've heard rumours who the villain's going to be for this one. There's a couple of ideas who it could be. I mean, we already got confirmation that Two-Face is going to be.
Oh, I didn't know this.
We've got confirmation, but whether he's going to be the main villain remains to be seen.
Yeah.
So, but I think, I mean, we've seen Two-Face quite a few times now, and I think, I don't know if they're done to death. I think it's been done to death, really.
I feel like Two-Face gets sidelined a lot, because he's in The Dark Knight, but, I mean, no one remembers him, because he's up against Heath Ledger's Joker, so obviously he just kind of gets pushed to the side, but it's a shame, because he's quite well done in that.
He was actually a really good Harvey Dent as well. Yeah. He was a great actor. And you know what? We've just come out. We've just run out of time.
Oh dear!
We've just run out of time. It's you know, it's
close to
always
the wire.
Flies the show, doesn't it? It always flies. So we're going to end it here now. I'm going to say goodbye. This is goodbye from Chris and Ollie.
Goodbye from Lewis.
Goodbye from Bradley Middleton.
And goodbye from Oliver Dixon. And we should see everyone next week.
We'll be back next week, all being well. So see you next Thursday.
See you
goodbye.
Next week.